The start of the game will be delayed so we can introduce the recruiter for the Springfield Communist Party.
Boom! Yeah, this is better than Dark Day.
Welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how are you?
I am very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. How have you been?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. We're recording a little bit later this week.
I was taken ill. If you must know, people, and I had to reschedule for today. Combination of back pain and flu, but it's a long story. We're here now, and that's the important
spicy
thing.
Spicy meatball.
What episode have we got for the fine folks today?
We have got season 4, episode 14, Brother from the Same Planet.
I've been looking
forward
to this one.
Very excited about this one.
Yeah, me too. Can I hit you with a bit of trivia?
Please.
Well, the episode was written by John Vitti and directed by Jeffrey Lynch, and they originally wrote the role of the guy who plays Bart's bigger brother. They originally wrote it for Tom Cruise. However, when offered the part, Cruise repeatedly turned it down. So the producers used Phil Hartman instead.
I read that myself.
Yeah.
That I would have been crazy.
I didn't actually know that. I don't know if it would have even been as good with Tom Cruise, to be honest.
No, well, I mean, we know what you feel about
Phil. I do love Phil Hartman. I mean, it'd be good to have him in The Simpsons, but, like, you know. Phil Hartman's Phil Hartman. Yeah.
I can't imagine it.
Like, I know, it seems so out of place. Like, there's a scene where Bart and Tom watch the Ren and Stimpy show, and apparently Nickelodeon were very strict about what The Simpsons were allowed to do with Ren and Stimpy, and so The Simpsons producers weren't allowed to save or to have the savageness that they wanted. So they obviously wanted to push it a bit more, and they said no. When Bart watches Tuesday Night Live in the episode, it's based on Saturday Night Live.
Of course.
And it was the writer John Vitti's way of criticizing Saturday Night Live for having overlong sketches and thin joke premises, which sort of sounded a bit bitter. Go on.
It's pretty on point, though, I think. Like, for every one sketch
good
on Saturday Night Live, it's like, oh, there's five really long, and
you have to get through the faff.
Oh God, yeah, like,
and plenty of it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it in the episode. But
yeah, well, apparently, then a few of the other writers, like that sequence of like the Big Ear family, there was a longer version. Yeah. But it was cut because a few of the writers and things like that had either worked on Saturday Night Live, or they didn't want to come off as being bitter, so they sort of quietened it down a bit.
It's not too savage, not too
hard. No, it's not. To be honest, I honestly, it's probably just my own ignorance. I didn't even cop it when I was watching it that it was supposed to be Saturday Night Live.
Well, I didn't the first few times I watched it when I was younger. And it's only in my early 20s or whatever, and you see, oh, Tuesday Night Live, and the fact that he says, I miss Joe Piscopo, because Joe Piscopo used to present it.
Oh, right.
Sort of clicked to me then.
Know that.
Like, but it's kind of like, they've gone back to that sort of thing again when, like, the crusty comedy classic KKK is like, Man About Shoe.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like this, you're not going to like our NYPD shoe sketch.
It's pretty much the same thing. Another thing with this episode is that the writers were looking for a way to end the episode, and one of the producers, Sam Simon, suggested that they watch The Quiet Man. So the writers all came in on a Saturday to watch the film together, and they were inspired by the fight scene at the end with John Wayne and whatever the other guy was. So they sort of mimicked the fight scene between Homer and Tom on that. But apparently, excuse me, it was a bit difficult to sound mix because they wanted it to be funny but not horrifying. And so they discovered that the more realistic the effects sounded, the funnier the scene became, and there's apparently a lot of deliberation on the noise of Homer's spine when he gets cracks his back on the fire hydrant, and they just use like the smallest, most realistic sound because they thought it was hilarious, which it was.
Yeah, it was definitely.
And then a quick one on the ratings. It aired 1st to 7th of February 1993 with a Nielsen rating of 14.9, equivalent to approximately 13.9 million households. And it was also ranked in a lot of sort of writers and journalists like top Simpsons episodes, certainly top episodes of the season, and a few had it picked overall in like their top five ever Simpsons episodes and things like that. So it's held in high regard.
It's certainly one that I always remember as like a top tier or top shelf.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of great memories from when I was younger watching the episode. And
So
I was really excited to revisit it this time around.
And yeah.
A lot of iconic bits in it. Like.
And it's only when I'm watching it again, it's like, anyway, we'll save it. We'll save it when we get into it. But that's all I've got on the trivia front. I don't know if you have anything. Any nuggets yourself?
No, that's it. I had the Tom Cruise thing. There's a few other bits that we can get into when we're discussing the episode. Like,
there's a few cultural references in there.
That, like, yeah, exactly that. Like,
perfect. Well, let's roll on into it.
So we start off with, I guess, Bart in goal with a little bit of a jazzy sports theme.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know, it's a little bit of a Rocky ripoff or something like that. Like,
yeah. Aren't they playing Eye of the Tiger?
No, Bart says...
Oh, he says Eye of the Tiger. Oh, yeah, I knew there was something to
do with it. Eye of the Tiger, Bart. And then he gets whacked in the face with the ball. And Bart, he's real proud, like, I stopped it. Oh, it actually started with the iconic shot is Nelson standing there, his hair blowing in the breeze, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Which
is actually a great one.
Like, oh, what a great like cold open here.
Yeah.
No context, Nelson.
It's almost like a movie or something opens up.
Yeah. So it's like when Bart gets hit in the face with the ball, he says, I stopped it. And Nelson says, and I hurt someone. The old traditional ha-ha. And then we get a whistle being blown.
I love this next line.
Yeah, do you want to go for it?
He's like, boys, it wasn't easy choosing only one of you for the free week at Pele's soccer and acting camp. Like, the fact that it's like soccer and acting
and
camp.
Acting.
It's like, let's all congratulate Nelson.
It's like, thanks, Dad. And like, told ya. So, Milhouse and the guys, well, they're in the back of a pickup truck for some reason. I don't know whose parent that is.
Yeah, I know. Maybe, willingly maybe driving Lewis's. Them. like unstrapped in on their way to an R-rated movie. Like, whose dad is this?
Yeah. But they're going to see Barton Fink. Have you seen this film?
No, what was Barton Fink?
It's a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, right.
And it's about... it's a really good film, but really odd. Like,
is it sort of like one of those like the joke is like we're going to see Barton Fink, like technically it's an R-rated movie, but there's no way they'll enjoy it.
I think more the joke is it's Bart and Fink, and the dad is Homer is the Fink, isn't it? He's like Bart and Fink.
Oh.
And like Bart is sitting there waiting for his dad, who's
oh I didn't get
that's
that.
What I always took from it.
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
you know? And, you know, whereas I think when you're talking about that, like, the that joke you're saying, when they go to see, like, Naked Lunch.
Yeah.
When they're on spring break.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can think of two things wrong with that title. That's more the sort of R-rated movie that they're like,
yeah.
You know,
but also one thing I noticed is the fact that, like, when Bart can't go with them, it's very un-Bart like that he's like, oh yeah. I told my dad I'd wait for him. Like, Bart would be the first one in that truck in any other episode.
Yeah. So they drive off, and it sort of cuts back to 742 Evergreen Terrace, where Marge and Lisa are on the way out the door. They're going to Marge's sister's, and they say to Homer, remember to pick up Bart. You get one of the all-time classic jokes.
I'm on my way.
It's like Wheel of Fortune, like an applause. You see him turning the brick, it's like phrase.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Marge?
Just even the way he says it, I'm on my way. Like, how would you, like, you would never say it like that watching TV. It's so obviously misleading.
So Bart is sitting on the side of the road, and the weather is getting worse, and he sees, he's like, that could be Dad, a station wagon, luggage rack, and then we cut inside to a...
Just an old woman who looks like Homer.
Exactly, and she's singing. And then Bart's just wondering where Homer is, and he just sort of, we get a couple of like vignettes or montage. He runs under a tree, they get struck by lightning, he gets blown away. There's, I don't know, I never remember if it's supposed to be the flying nun or,
I think it was supposed to be a reference to that, yeah, the movie or something like that, the flying nun. Yeah.
And we get, I think we get a bit of reused footage here of Homer sitting in the beanbag.
Yeah.
TV. And I think that's from, you know, the episode when they get the comic book, the three guys.
Bart Milhouse in the treehouse.
Bart Milhouse and Martin, yeah.
Yeah.
Invest together. And Homer's like, they're like, check on the boys. Like, they're fine.
Yeah. That was actually a great little spot for scenes. Like, they didn't use that a lot, but that was actually, they're always more sort of memorable. I don't know why, because it's just something a little bit different.
Yeah, but it doesn't really make sense, because he's downstairs on the couch watching Wheel of Fortune, and then next he's upstairs in the beanbag watching
another TV.
Tonight on Wings. Okay.
And then another classic bit coming up where he's like, pick up Bart, pick up Bart. He gets intercepted by Milhouse. Trap Puke Sip.
Oh, Milhouse, what are we talking about writing on the walls? Go to your room. And then it comes back to Homer again. I'm loving this.
Still watching
back and
TV.
Forth. These little jokes, and it's like, after everything, trying to... glorious seasons, the Green Bay faithful bid farewell to Brian Bartlett Starr. Like, Bart. He's like, I think I'm forgetting something. It's like the dog. He's like, Bart. Maggie belches.
Bart.
Yeah.
I can't think what all this noise.
It's like, what am I supposed to do? It's like, pick up Bart. Pick a bar. What the hell is pick a bar?
And the fact when he leaves.
He's in the tub, actually. That was the great thing. He's in the tub. And he's like, he falls asleep. And I love the dissolve of the tiles of the bathroom. They turn into like the net of the
soccer. Yeah. Goal. Really well done. Really good. Yeah.
And he rushes towards the thing, and he sees the skeleton of Bart. He lets out a big guy. He's like, why? How? Why? bitch. All the time, the camera is zooming away.
Yeah, great scene.
And he's like, he realizes that he has to pick up Bart and jumps out of the bath, runs straight down the stairs.
The classic Simpsons naked scene.
Yeah. Ned, hide your shame.
Ned, hey homie, I can see your doodle.
Shut up, Flanders. So Homer pulls up beside where Bart, he finally pulls up beside where he's sitting, and he just starts up, hey boy, how was soccer practice? And you just get a the ball, like the air just going out of it. So they're driving off, and he's like, son, here's my way of saying sorry. And somehow he has like an ice cream sundae or...
Yeah. Like when you get at a restaurant or something.
Yeah. And they go over a pothole or, and it goes out of his hand, but the sound of it, like...
It's the splat, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, on his head. And he's like, oh.
And then the fact that he classically tries to like... put a spin on it. Yeah, he's like, I know you're mad at me, and I'm kind of mad too. I mean, we could try and figure out who forgot to pick up who. Let's just say we're both wrong, and that'll be that. And then it's such a bizarre, like...
I love it. I mean, it's great.
Like, the way, like, it goes all, like, his face melts, like, no, how about a hug?
Really gives you the sense of, like, what Bart is feeling.
Yeah.
Him, or, like how...
It's a very different sort of thing to put down in The Simpsons.
There's been a, like, straight away after the top of the, at the start of the show, it's like you have Bart almost getting struck by lightning, Homer envisioning the dead corpse of his son,
yeah,
his face melting, like, when
Bart
is looking at him. Like, so it's like the tone from the start of it is very,
very serious or something, yeah.
Not so much serious, but it's just, it is different, like, you know?
Yeah, you can tell that I had different people sort of working on it this time.
Yeah, for all the better, I think. Like,
yeah, I think so too.
But then we cut back to Bart is watching TV at night time.
I'll stop you right there, Terry. We've come to the point of the show where we have our first clip of the episode. We will play it and come back.
Hello, New York. When Lauren asked me to host this show, I said, Lauren, why me? I mean, I did just star in my first movie with Marvin Hagler and Tova Borgnine. Yeah! Anyway, we got a great show for you. Well, actually, the last half hour is a real garbage dump. We'll be right back.
I miss Joe Piscopo.
Lost your dad?
Uh-huh.
He's not coming back, is he?
He might.
No, he's not. But at Bigger Brothers, we can help.
Hello, Bigger Brothers. My name is Bart Simpson, and I don't have a father.
And now it's time for another episode of the Big Ear Family.
Honey, I'm home. Oh, I got wax in my ears. Better clean them. Huh? Huh? Oh, this goes on for 12 more minutes.
So, Marvin Hagler and Tova Borgnine. Those are some A-list stars, huh?
I love the silence as well after. It's like, yeah! And plus, like, Krusty being Krusty, like, there's something about, it's like, we got a great show for you, and then, like, straight away, he just cuts to the chase.
Can't,
like,
can't help himself.
Yeah, well, the last half hour is a real garbage dump.
We'll be right back.
But the actual Bigger Brother ad itself, I love those ads they do in The Simpsons where it's like it relates to exactly what they're doing at that very moment. Like, where Homer in the last one. When he's like, are you on your third beer of the evening already? You know, like in the last episode, it just caters to exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Quality clip.
But yeah, it was that there, like you could actually just play the whole episode, I think. There's so many clips we could have put in there.
I know. It was hard to try and narrow down even the clips in this one. Yeah.
And then, you know, it cuts back after Bart rings him up and says, oh, he doesn't have a father. It's like we're talking about the big ear family. He's like, I got wax in my ears, better clean them. And like the giant dude, I'm like,
this goes on for 12 more minutes. It's like Krusty's such a hack. Like he's such a hack. It's like he just always goes where the money is.
So the next scene is Bart at the Bigger Brother agency. I love the outfit that he's in. The sort of
like chimney sweep.
Yeah, well, not even that. It's like, you know, it's kind of the outfits that they had the kids in when we watched Lisa's First Word. You know, that sort of that farmer's cap almost. It does make him look like he's sort of, you know,
more desperate.
Oliver type clothes. Yeah. I guess. And he's sporting the accent. He said his father left him out on the curb for the Irishman. What a revolting development. And then the woman says, oh, I've been saving someone special for a case like yours. And then it cuts to outside the school where, like, a motorbike pulls up. And it's like, Bart Simpson. And, like, flicks down the shades. It's like, I'm Tom. Let's ride. A great little gag is Martin.
Like, I had that written down. Yeah.
Bart's dad really pulled himself together.
I love the fact that it's Martin delivering that line as well for some reason. It's like, Bart's dad has really pulled himself together.
It wouldn't make sense if it was Milhouse because they're too friendly, I guess, like, you know.
Yeah. I like when, like, it sort of works in South Park very well as well, when those, like, people who are usually really nice, like, put a little quip in there or a little put down, you know, like Butters,
That they're scattering the fringe characters in as well, like,
They're not just sticking to the same ones.
Yeah,
they're really starting to open up that whole world at this stage.
Yeah, that's what they were so good at, like, that they were able to, like, and it sort of went to their detriment in the later seasons in that the characters are so fully formed that they started to give each one of their own episode.
Yeah, rather than just being peripheral characters.
Yeah, but you can still be fully formed characters, but be on the outside to come in for a scene or two.
Yeah. I always wonder with like writers, like, they obviously come up with a joke, and then I wonder how they decide on which of their characters, you know, which of the characters gets to say the line. You know, I mean, as far as the peripheral characters go, you know, if someone's got a great line, like, say if that one, like, where Flanders' house has been rebuilt, and, you know, Lenny comes, he's like, hey, I've only been here a few minutes, what's going on? Like, I wonder how they decide to give that to Lenny, you know I mean, like, they always seem to make the right choice, especially in the earlier ones.
I think with Lenny, just like with that one there, it's kind of like it suits to his the way it comes out of the mouth, like, it's like,
try this
voice, like, I read that that they do try it with the, say the Hank is there, it's going to be one of these characters.
He'll just roll through the different ones he does. Oh, yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Like, which one, like, so, no, but they'll have a list of characters, say, of who they think, like you're saying, somebody's just going to show up. <it's>
like, poor Lenny.
It's like, okay, try, it might be one of these four characters that you do, try, let's see what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So we jump over to Homer and Marge in the bedroom, and he says that Bart's not mad at him, which Marge replies, well, he called you a bad father. Homer's like, Marge, when kids say bad these days, they mean good, and to shake one's booty means to wiggle one's butt. Permit me to demonstrate.
No! Plus, I absolutely love the next line where, like, she's mid giving out. She's like, I just think you should talk to Bart about, good Lord, do you have an explanation for this bill? It's like, oh, it's, oh, God.
the shot of Homer, it cuts through, and he's just like sitting there, like, huh? Real guilty look on his face.
He knows what it's about. It's like, it's that record club. The first nine were only a penny. Then they jacked up the price. It's not fair, I tells you.
Someone made $300 worth of phone calls to something called the Corey Hotline. It's like, oh, wasn't me. And then
turns out it was little Lisa Simpson.
Marge asks, why didn't you ask permission? To which Lisa replies, he's like, I did. And he said, it cut the flashback is like, Dad, can I? He's like, yeah.
Plus, one thing I like, one, I like the fact that this is a subplot in the episode, which we're fans of here. I'd put it
not
in
a huge one, but it's
but just something else, just a little side breather story almost. And I also like the fact that it's like Lisa who's like, you know, being doing something. Yeah, exactly. I like that.
So Marge says, oh, she knows what she's going through. When she was a girl, she had a crush on Bobby Sherman. And Lisa starts like laughing at her. And Marge's like, the point is, I want you to stop making these calls. She's like, all right, Mom, I promise you will never be billed for another call. And then it sort of goes back to like, Bobby Sherman. So we're over at the old Isotopes Field, I guess. They're a baseball game.
Charge.
Tom is asking, has Bart's dad ever taken him to baseball games?
His game was blackjack. He bet our life savings on a single hand.
19.
Hit me.
20.
Hit me.
21.
Hit me.
22.
Don't.
Now, I just love that, like, even the drawing of Homer there.
Yeah. Where
like, wearing the pork pie hat and has a black beard. Yeah. You know? Like,
because, like, this scene didn't even happen, but this is, like, how it's almost like, being imagined.
But, like, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I wonder if those are, like, almost like clips from an old episode.
Yeah.
I used to be like, did Homer ever have that beard? Growing up, like, you know.
Yeah.
And we get a little message over the PA saying, the start of the game will be delayed so we can introduce the recruiter for the Springfield Communist Party. to load of tomatoes. And we get that voice again, Andy.
This is better than Dirty.
Yeah, the droopy dog voice.
It is the droopy dog voice. That's the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah, you feel it. So we jump over to Dr. Hibbert. He's after putting eardrops in Lisa's ears. He says, let them sit for about 20 minutes. If you get bored, here's a MASH coloring book. Here's a good one. Hawkeye's antics irritate the other surgeons.
just walks out
with reading, the magazine. Reading the book. Like.
And then, like, straight and away, Lisa goes for the phone.
It's a nice little sort of thing where it's like her head is sideways, so the camera is sort of flipped.
Yeah.
The way her head would be looking at it. And, straight to the phone. She rings up the Corey hotline.
$4.95 a minute.
Here are some words that rhyme with Corey. Glory. Story. Allegory. Montessori. I was thinking about setting up one of those hotlines for like maybe we set up a Patreon thing for our fans.
I like that idea.
They could listen to me say words that sound like Terry for $4.95.
I think that's a good business model. I could do the same.
I could read the newspaper. No, this is my idea, man.
We're in this together, Terry.
You get your own idea.
Anything you do venture wise outside of this podcast is strictly prohibited by my lawyers. And you know that, Terry.
I've got you over a barrel, can't
you? And you know it. but anyway, I like the fact that Tom is like, when he's with Bart, they're like just working out. It's like, yeah. Okay, Bart, tomorrow we'll blast your quads.
And they turn on the aforementioned Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
It's a weird choice why. I mean, I guess it's just to show the difference between Tom and Homer, that it's like,
not, you know, Itchy and Scratchy.
He watches Ren and Stimpy, Homer watches Itchy and Scratchy.
Because I was thinking that at the time, I was like, why didn't they just go with Itchy and Scratchy? Like, because it was just, it was one of those weird. The more I think about it, the more I think of how different this episode is compared to it. It's really like almost a standalone episode, you know, in the jokes they use and things like that. But I wasn't a massive fan of the Ren and Stimpy bit. Nah. I mean, just in general.
Not really in general. Like,
yeah.
It's not his meatball soup. It's his collection of fur balls and stomach acid. Ben goes crazy. So we're at a show and tell next, and it's Bart's turn. He wants to be an F-14 pilot like his hero Tom. He lent me his new weapon called Neural Disrupt. Basically, a laser just shoots Martin in the forehead.
The noise of the laser as well.
Oh, I love it.
Shoot.
Yeah. Martin's like, mm-hmm.
And plus, I like the fact that, like, how disinterested Kromopoulos is. Like, he's not dead, is he, bro?
Yeah.
Like, just like that.
And he says, don't thank me. Thank an unprecedented 8-year military buildup. So, Bill House is up next.
I have a horsey. Hey.
What? so we're over at the retirement castle. Excuse me, I've got a bit of hiccups here.
Oh boy.
And Grandpa says he's glad Lisa came. I know you young'uns don't think we old timers aren't any fun, but we'll show them. We'll show them all. And again, it's great. He falls back asleep in his chair, and the phone is front and center.
Great little grandpa throwaway gag as well.
Yeah. He's always good to be used. Another quick one here is Bart is going out the door. Homer asks where he's going. He says, I'm going to a father-son picnic. I was like, have a good time. Wait a minute. And, so Homer is starting to get a bit suspicious. So, we're over at two. Excuse me.
Sorry, your sound cut out there for a minute. I obviously missed a few hiccups in there. As soon as I got my sound back, I was like, hello.
Yeah, here we go.
Yes, we're leaving this in.
Good lord.
Who doesn't enjoy laughing at someone with hiccups?
Fucker.
You son of a bitch.
So, Lisa is with Principal Skinner. Good to see him make an appearance.
Love it. He has some great work in this episode.
No, absolutely. But I love this line where he says, I know I can trust you to inventory this Glee Club peanut brittle.
It's so specific as well.
Yeah. And he's like, now I gotta go slash this budget. So long, science. Music and art. And then he sees the phone being used, and he's like, good lord, that's a 900 number. And it's Corey reading the newspaper.
It's such, I love the fact that the Corey hotline is such a, it's so, like, he just, like, couldn't care less. It was like, hi, this is Corey. I hope you and I can get married someday. You know, it's like, let's see what's in the newspaper today. Canada stalls on trade pact.
So Skinner puts his hand down on the phone, and Lisa is like, oh, Lisa's caught. So next thing, we're up in the sky with Tom and Bart. They're paragliding. And he's like, hey, look at that forest down there. And Bart seems real disinterested. Yeah, great.
Yeah, great.
Like, what's the matter?
Essentially, Bart is actually getting a bit of conscience here and is saying, there's probably some other kid who needs you more. Bart, I could kiss you if the bigger brothers had made me sign a form promising I wouldn't. Which is a nice little gag.
Yeah, and he's like, no one needs me more than a child with your tragic upbringing. Now let's sit down at that Froger stuff. And then it's Homer's like, so that's it. He's been watching on the with binoculars the whole time.
I'll stop you there, Terry. This clip was so good. We will not say it. We will play it and come back to you.
Thank God. After this.
So that's it.
Hello, son. Where have you been?
Playing with Milhouse.
No, you haven't. You've been out gallivanting around with that floozy of a bigger brother of yours, haven't you? Haven't you? Look at me.
Dad, it just kind of happened. You're taking this too hard.
How would you like me to take it? Go ahead, Bart. Have your fun. I'll be waiting for you. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Well, what are you going to do?
Oh, you'll see.
The scene itself is like, I know that's based off something because it already feels like a classic scene. I just haven't seen the movie.
It's based off Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, right.
I haven't seen that film, but like it's an all-time classic Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know it's a pastiche of something when you're watching it. But like,
yeah, because the way he's like, me, haven't you? Haven't you?
Look, but he just slips into it like,
you know? So how would you like me to take it? Go ahead, Bart. Have your fun.
Well, I'm sorry. But like, no, because the start of it, he's like, where have you been? And he's like, I've been playing Milhouse. I was like, no, you haven't.
Yeah, straight away. Right into it. No, you haven't.
Yeah. And he's like, what are you going to do? He's like, oh. You'll see. But the swirling of the brandy glass. Yeah. Very cinematic. It's great. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Homer's revenge, I guess, is literally going in to get himself a little brother.
Yeah. And she asks what his reasons are for wanting a little brother. And we get it's kind of like the same thing that I remember it's around this time where it happens more and more where Homer and his inner monologue, you know, we have
yeah, the last that they're talking to each other.
Yeah, like the dog faced woman.
Yeah.
You know, and now this one is like, you know, he's like, don't say revenge, don't say revenge. And he's like, revenge. Like, that's it, I'm out of here. And
yeah.
You get the door closed.
Footsteps leaving.
Yeah. But it's like that as well when, and it, years later, when they're at the cider factory.
Oh yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm out of here.
Yeah. He just collapses.
The noise of the brain leaving.
That's such a good one. Yeah. Did you notice though when he says don't say revenge, don't say revenge, did you happen to catch, because she ticked revenge as he said, did you happen to catch what any of the other boxes were for?
I can't remember off the top of my head. What were they?
They were.
Oh, good, I remember.
Yeah, it was, revenge obviously was one. It was spite, malice, revenge, boredom, or profit. Which I just love. Like, clearly that's a gag that like you have to pause it to see.
Yeah.
But they take the time to add those things in. So Homer basically gets, that's all they need to hear, and it's welcome aboard, Mr. Simpson. And the fact that, like straight away, it's not even, like, a telltale sign that he's not, like, the right man. He's, like, ugly, wiener, crater face, as she's shown in the pictures.
Sweet!
And then, so he finally sees Pepe. Or, yeah, Pepe. And He's like, do you have him in blonde?
Great little joke. So then we cut back over to Lisa. And basically it's like Marge saying the only way she'll lick this is to take it one day at a time. Take it at midnight. And she'll know you'll have beaten it forever. To which Skinner is sitting there. Listen to your mother, Lisa. I owe everything I have to my mother's watchful eye and swift hand.
Oh. Actually, Terry, let me stop you right there. Why say the rest of that line when we can play the rest of that line?
You goddamn motherfucker.
We'll be back after this.
Lisa, the only way you'll lick this is one day at a time. If you can make it to midnight without calling the quarry line, you'll know you've beaten it forever.
Midnight?
Listen to your mother, Lisa. I owe everything I have to my mother's watchful eye and swift hand. Oh, there's mother now, watching me. What's that, mother? Well, they have a right to be here. It's school business. Mother, that sailor suit doesn't fit anymore.
I think we should go.
Well, I should hope that sailor suit doesn't fit him anymore.
Such a great line.
Great little nod to Psycho there.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on that, did you?
I did actually pick up on it. Even though I haven't seen Psycho, I knew it was from Psycho.
This is the kind of stuff that I've been missing with, you know, not having loads of Skinner in it. Like, these little asides.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's just like, it just goes, again, this episode just has these, like, they're not dark, but they're like just little, almost... excuse me, parodies or, you know, things like that. And just the fact he's like, oh, there's mother now. Yeah. But you're like, oh, he's insane.
So next we go over to, I guess it's supposed to be Bumtown or whatever it is. And Homer sees a homeless man in a dumpster. He laughs to himself, just like Oscar the Grouch. And he goes to pick up Peppy. He calls him Papa Homer. Very cute.
Yeah. I thought their relationship was, you know, quite cute. It was just like, even though he's doing it for revenge, he actually really gets on with him.
Yeah. And then they're walking along. Well, actually, we skipped a little bit where he has Peppy on his shoulders and he says, your life is going to get better starting now. And he bonks his head.
Straight away.
I love the sound of the bonk.
Yeah.
And then it jumps down to the two of them walking together, and Homer is telling Peppy about how bad a son Bart is. It's like, this is possibly my favorite clip ever in The Simpsons.
Where he smears the grapefruit in his face.
Yeah. Like, I just want you to know I love you very much. It's like, shut up. That is, of course, from Public Enemy.
I didn't actually know that was from anything.
Yeah, it's from James Cagney film. If you watch The Sopranos, you'll know it's one of the films that Tony Soprano watched quite a lot.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Was that sort of, yeah, James Cagney was like the original, hey, see, gangster, huh? You know.
Oh, I didn't get that.
So we jump over to Homer showing Peppy around, and he's, I just press this button and the door opens like magic. To the garage door opens
halfway.
Not even halfway.
Yeah. A few feet.
Happy asks, why does it stop there? And he says, because it's a stupid piece of junk. wailing on it.
Banging on it.
Yeah.
Well, I better get you home.
Yeah. So Peppy says he's spent every night of his life in the city. He's never seen the stars. And it cuts to a nice little moment with the two of them sitting on out the front on deck chairs.
I tell you, a line here that for some reason really annoyed me was, tell me more. I want to know all the constellations.
Yeah.
Yeah, you little punk.
But they make up for it with, there's Jerry, the cowboy.
Yeah.
And that Big Dipper looking thing is Alan, the cowboy.
Yeah. Oh, Papa Homer, you are so learned.
Learned, son. It's pronounced learned.
I love the fact that he calls him Pepsi as well. Like, he doesn't even know his name.
But then, I gotta say, this next scene was fantastic. Is Lisa sitting there in the chair, it's like, gotta make till midnight. And you get like the clock getting louder, and then Maggie playing on her thing.
On her phone.
Yeah. Marge's needles clicking. And like, but just like her face.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so like strained.
And like she's sweating, and like her hands are digging into the. Must you be forever dialing on the phone?
Excuse me. And then, like, I like the fact that even as well that, like, when Marge goes to check on her and she's in the kitchen asleep on the phone, it's like, oh, you tried your best. But, like, even the fact that they made it so that she really almost caved, you know?
Cracked.
Yeah. And it was nicely done.
Talking to the clock or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And Bart and Homer are in Bart's bedroom next, and he asks, hey, Homer, have you seen my skateboard?
I gave it to Peppy.
Yeah. Who the hell is Peppy?
He's my little brother. That's right. You're not the only one who can abuse a non-profit organization.
who needs you? Tom's a better father than you ever were.
Yeah, we had our fun. Remember when I used to push you on the swing?
I was faking it.
Liar!
Oh, yeah? Remember this? Higher, Dad. Higher. Wee,
wee. Stop it! Stop it! And we should just do this for the whole podcast.
Yeah.
Act one, scene one.
He does sort of seem like remorseful after saying that, you know. And then we're coming to the end here now. We're over at the aquarium. And Tom is saying to Bart, you know, the whale is not really a fish. They're mammals like you and me.
Is that true?
No.
What I really love is I don't know if you picked up on it, but like when Homer's messing with the dolphin,
the eyes
on him, where he's like, "Woo!" Yeah. And like his eyes and his mouth, it's like the most, like, you know, one of those like wacky faces where like the eyes are looking in opposite directions and they're hitting themselves over the head with like a mallet. Yeah. It was like one of those sort of faces, almost like, "Woo!" It's like he's just like losing the plot.
So then the dolphin takes the hot dog out of his hand and he like tries to go.
He has to be restrained.
He got my hot dog.
I love the fact as well that like Homer and Bart are treating this whole thing like it's a breakup of like a relationship, you know, like the whole haven't you, you've been, it's like, what do you want me to do? Say, go ahead, have your fun. And then when they see each other at the water, at the show, it's like, well, you're looking well.
To Tom is there, come on, Bart, you know better than to talk to strangers.
For your information, I'm his father.
His father, the drunken gambler.
That's right. And who might you be?
And then he just clocks him.
The fact about it, when like he says like the drunken gambler, like he doesn't even turn around. You just see the back of his head. Like he's so annoyed. He stopped in his tracks.
And like so, he knocks Homer into the other tank, which cracks, and then a load of fish or starfish are on Homer's head. So he used them like throwing stars to throw them at Tom. I love how Tom's like, hi, oh, and then he's like, there you go, fellas.
Yeah, putting them back in the tank. Eating immediately.
And we got a dough.
Right? Yeah, we were just talking about that. We like when other people dough instead of Homer. Homer using his dirty tactics of, there's another disadvantaged boy. He's like, where? Guy. Love a good fist fight.
Yeah, and it's like, there's a couple of guys fighting around the aquarium, chief.
They still sell those frozen bananas?
I think so.
That's roll.
And then we get a...
Stop right there, Terry. We got our final clip of the evening, and it's a doozy. We will play it and come back after this.
Look, there's another disadvantaged boy.
Where?
There's a couple of guys fighting at the aquarium, Chief.
They still sell those frozen bananas?
I think so.
That's wrong.
This just in, a fist fight is in progress in downtown Springfield.
Early reports indicate, and these are very preliminary, that one of the fighters is a giant lizard. Do we have a source on this?
Uh-huh. A bunch of drunken frat boys. All right, I could use some names. I.P. Freely.
Love a bit of Kemp Brockman, I do. he's great.
He's so good.
It's like, one of the fighters is a giant lizard.
I was already laughing. Even before I got to the giant lizard, I was already laughing at, early reports indicate, and these are very preliminary. I was already laughing. It's like, what's he going to come up with? What wild, inaccurate fact is he going to come up with?
So we get a load of Homer and Tom fighting all over the place. At one point, they even go down into the Springfield Gorge and then back up.
That's such a great scene where they fight off the cliff. They go all the way down and fight all the way back up the cliff.
And then at one point, they're in an antique shop smashing it up. And then Tom is outside and he's like, Homer.
I was just smashing the place up himself.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, right, yeah. And then we get that infamous shot
of
Homer getting clocked and falling back on the fire hydrant.
Such and a great
that,
scene.
And that little...
And everyone, even Tom, just stops and like widens their eyes like, oh, this is even more painful than it looks. He says it so calmly.
Yeah. It's like... so then it's sort of, we get Peppy and Tom sitting down on the steps, and he's like, now I need to find another little brother.
My car's going to feel so empty on the ride home, and me, like, I have no ride at all.
I already brought a giant ham for dinner, it's going to go to waste.
Don't talk about food, I'm so hungry. Well, goodbye.
And then, Bart puts the two of them together. We get to go back home to the Simpsons, and Bart offers Homer another beer. He says, oh, thanks, son. And Bart asks, you know, remember when Tom had you in that headlock and you screamed, I'm a hemophiliac. When he let you go, you kicked him in the back. Will you teach me how to do that?
Sure. First, you gotta shriek like a woman. Then, keep sobbing till he turns away in disgust. That's when it's time to kick some back. And when he's lying on the ground, kick him in the ribs. Step on his neck and run like hell. I love the way Homer's just giving, like, cowardly fighting advice to Bart.
A nice little end to the episode there. A little bow put on it.
Such a well-done episode.
Together. Yeah, it's really great. Really.
Really, really great.
Really, really, really great.
Shall we get to ratings?
Ratings.
How do you find the defender?
So, what would you give this one out of 10, Andy?
Terry, I would have to give this my highest score yet. 8.9 out of 10.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
You notice how I led off with this, what score first, because I know who your MVP is going to be.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's Tom.
Yeah. He is great.
Who is your MVP, and what would you give it?
Second week in a row.
Homer?
Homer, yeah. I think Homer is fantastic in this episode.
He is very good.
Yeah. Bart is pretty good in this episode too, I think, to be honest. He doesn't overdo the obnoxiousness.
Yeah, it's quite...
The fact that like, he's quite put upon at the start really goes in his favour, I think.
Yeah, it's a really different sort of episode for Bart, because like, he's really been wronged, you know, and so he's sort of like, it's almost like excusable what he's doing, you know, with the bigger brother thing and all that, but like, this is one of the few episodes that really lived up to my memory of it as a kid, like... Even just, like, more so talking about it, like, there were so many little scenes where it's just like, oh, yeah, that was actually done really well, or, you know, like, the way they had the camera on this one, or, you know, these little things are now, how about a hug, and all this sort of stuff, like, that you just don't get in other episodes, so,
I would say. This one has always been a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm with you right there. I think it's going to be my highest of the season so far.
What's your score?
9.5. It's not my favorite ever, but it's close.
Would it be in your all-time top 10?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think so too.
It might even be in my top 5.
Ooh. Yeah, we're really cooking.
I'll know more, I guess, as the more we watch.
But, yeah, where it falls.
Yeah, it's definitely a top 10er anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely fantastic episode.
So, before we get into what we're watching next, should we get in our plug?
Please, plug it up.
You can find us on Facebook, put it in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. Can you find us on Twitter as well, Andy?
You sure can, Terry, and let me tell you where you can find us. It's at Put It In H Podcast. That's at Put It In H Podcast on Twitter. We are also on SoundCloud. Interestingly enough, we had a listener from Shelbyville, USA, would you believe?
Hello.
Listening to us, which that I just thought was great. Oh, it's real, buddy. So you can find us there on Twitter, and I think that's it.
Well, no, you can always drop us a line if you want, if you wish, at putinhpod@gmail.com. That's putinhpod@gmail.com. We're always looking for
queries. Love getting these questions. Love getting any feedback. So if you do listen to it, we would love to hear just anything. Only positive. I say anything. Only positive.
You can also find us on iTunes. Give us a rating and a review.
Same applies. Helps, only positive.
Helps with the algorithm. 5 stars only.
Yeah, or don't bother. And we're also on all good podcast apps, but you probably know that if you're listening to us by now. But if you don't, you can basically find us. Put us into any podcast search engine, and we'll come up. Put It In H Podcast. What episode have we got for them next week, Terry?
We've got season 4, episode 15, I Love Lisa, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Yes, sir.
Doing the monster mesh. I was working in the lab.
Really looking forward to this next one.
Yeah, me too. We're on a roll here.
Yeah, there's some really good ones coming up as well.
Well, I just want to say thanks, everybody, for listening wherever you are around the globe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy, for having this little chat with me.
Thank you, Terry. Always a pleasure. We'll see you folks later.
Dance your dance. Call those kids, I remember. I'm your friendly disc jockey trying to tell you it's time to get dancing, baby. You can't think of all the wrong and all the